All right, and welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. I'm always so professional with this.
I know. What are we laughing at?
I was just excited to be here.
Looking at the guy with the face for radio. That's across from you.
That's us. All right, I guess I was laughing. All right. Gary.
Yo.
Good to have you here.
Yeah, great to be here.
So I wanted to talk about, in these podcasts, we've talked about the path. Mm-hmm. And we've had so many guests on the show that talk about the different journey they took to get to the NHL or to college or to, you know, whatever it is. Everybody's had their own journey. And with Trevor and with Daniel, we talk about, okay, you made it. And we talked with Trevor and we realized he made it to the NHL. For a lot of people, they're like, okay, that's happily ever after.
Right.
But there's a struggle at that point. And as Trevor pointed out, his whole career almost didn't happen. Even though he'd made the NHL, he's a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. He had a coach that didn't believe in him. And that was almost it. They healthy scratched him for 9 games. They were trying to trade him. He hadn't had the opportunity to do enough to make other teams want him yet.
Right.
So they were going to waive him and send him back to the minors and probably be done with him.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that you kind of don't think about is what, you know, it's the after story.
Right. And that's what, like, just average Joes, that they don't know. You know, it's just all we see is the athlete making it, right? We don't see the behind-the-scenes stuff or hear a lot about that stuff. And it's a hard road.
Right. And it's a daily struggle because the teams are going to draft other players. They're going to be looking at free agents. They're going to be looking. There was a goalie that I can't remember who he was. He was in the Dallas Stars system. And he was an up-and-coming goalie. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's the guy. And then the Dallas Stars trade for Belfour. And all of a sudden, there's a cap, right? You're not going to beat out Belfour. And that was almost the like end of that guy's career. Wow. He didn't find another place to go. And so we talk about that stuff. And you see it a little bit in the NFL, but you don't see it as much as hockey. And then a cool behind-the-scenes thing we had with Jordan Parisi on the show is that he talked about being in the NHL. And it was just a fluke thing where the video guy kept him a little longer than he was supposed to be kept. And then he goes into the locker room to get dressed and he can't find the heel beds for his skates. And he's looking all over for, you know, because, you know, you take out your bed, your foot beds and your skates, so they dry out. And he couldn't find them. He didn't know where the trainer had put them. You don't pack your own gear, right? Trainers pack them. He can't find them. He looks everywhere. And then finally he's like, screw it. And he just gets dressed and he puts his arms in his chest pad and there's his foot beds are inside his chest pad. Well, who would think to look in there? But now he's late getting on the ice. He comes walking out. The head coach of the New York Rangers is like, why are you late getting on the ice? And as Jordan gets ready to answer him, he goes, you're right. There's no excuse. You can't. There's no answer for this.
Oh.
Practices, tears his feet up because he doesn't have footbeds in, so he's standing on the rivets, gets off the ice and finds out he's been reassigned to the minors. And that was it.
Wow.
Done.
Yeah, you just never know. I mean, because when you're up at that level, I mean, you're wanting to stay there, obviously.
Yeah.
So then there's, like you said, there's always something coming at you.
So, and we talk about it, if you're a bubble player, like, okay, if you're Sidney Crosby or, you know, you're somebody with a name and you get hurt, you're pretty safe. Your spot's secure. Yeah. But if you're a bubble guy trying to make the lineup and you get hurt, then they're going to pull somebody else and that's their opportunity. And maybe that's their ever after.
Right. Yeah.
And then you're irrelevant.
Right.
But so I don't want to say that, you know, it's just a constant struggle is the point we're trying to get to. And part of that is, so you've got injuries and you've got, you know, whatever else, and we're going to talk to Daniel Brickley, who's, you know, he's been fighting for a spot with the LA Kings. And it's well documented. Mm-hmm. And he's a kid that wasn't drafted. And he's fought his way in and became one of the most sought-after free agents coming out of college. Yep. Had an amazing college year. And then just re-signed a 2-year deal with the LA Kings. And, you know, they're giving him time to grow into the NHL. They realize he's a big player, right?
Yeah.
And there's a speed gap there. And they're giving him time and opportunity to prepare for that and to adapt to the speed of the NHL and the AHL. And so this season starts out and he hits a crazy, crazy speed bump.
Right.
So today on the show, we're going to talk to Daniel Brickley. All right, so joining us now is via the telephone.
Yeah,
is Daniel Brickley. Daniel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are great. Spectacular.
Yeah, welcome.
We don't look very good, but we are good. So,
that's a given.
Thanks for taking the time. We know you are back in town, back home.
Correct.
With an undisclosed injury.
Yeah.
So
lower body injury.
You found this out. You spent some time in the hospital.
Yeah, a little bit, but I'm on the up and coming.
Okay.
Getting better.
How long do they think you're going to be out?
It wasn't exact, but they said anywhere between like 3 to 5 weeks, and I'm already on. I'm just starting my third week.
Okay.
So.
And things are. You're starting to feel good.
Yeah, things are looking good. I'm getting stronger every day. I mean, slow process, but it's coming.
Okay. So with something like this, and it's hard to, I don't know how much you can disclose, but is this going to affect your conditioning too? Are you going to be cleared to play? Let's say it's next week and they're like, okay, it's the 5th, you can play. And are you going to be right back into game shape, or is it going to take you a week to get back into it?
You know what? I'm sure I could just jump back into it,
okay.
Just knowing myself. But that's usually not how it works. I mean, the coaches and strength and conditioning coaches and whatnot, they'll probably want to try to get me a week of practice or so I don't just jump right into the fire. And you know, that just the risk of injury is higher in that case. You know,
right.
Again, so they'd probably want me to get a little bit more in shape, build up some more muscle, get a week of practice under my belt, get going at game speed, stuff like that, and then throw me into the games. So that's what I'm assuming is going to happen. So,
okay,
yeah, but yeah.
How are things going up until that point? I mean, so it's new into the season. We planned on getting in touch with you and checking on you and seeing how things were going in Ontario and. You know, we just hadn't had the chance yet. So how were things going at the start of the season?
Really good, actually. We have a strong team. Like a lot of people know, or if they don't know, the Kings are rebuilding at this point in their time, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
It's a lot of draft picks, a lot of free agent signees, and the Kings draft list is very highly known. I've seen them do skits and little like documentaries on our draft picks on NHL on the Fly and stuff like that, saying that they have the Kings have one of the best draft lists coming up, and we have guys like Rasmus Kupari and Mike Anderson and Jared Anderson Dolan. All these guys are like very promising, and they're all with Ontario right now, and we're looking really strong. Everyone, it's a dog-eat-dog fight to get in the lineup, because obviously everyone can play and is skilled and whatnot, but it's at the end of the day, like, who's that much better and who can help the team that much more, but like at the same time, everyone can do that, and so it's it's competitive. That's what, that, in my opinion, that's I think that's what helps make teams win. Is if you can be competitive with you with your teammates in practice and stuff like that, and can translate to a game.
Yeah, so, and if you've got a fight to be in the lineup, that makes you a better player, right? If it's
exactly
that's exactly. One of those things.
Like, you know, that's not like anyone's not good enough to play. It's just that our team's so skilled, I think, right now, and all these guys are up and coming. And I don't know, it's a lot of fun. I was having a blast, and up until this road little speed bump. But yeah, no, our team's doing really good. I think we're a little stronger than we were last year. I don't know, I've been gone for a week or two. I think we're 3-1.
Nice.
I think that's where we are right now. Maybe 4-1. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough when you get out of the loop to keep track of what's going on.
Yeah, and I the Kings are doing okay. Like I said, we were rebuilding. I think the Kings are 3-5.
Yeah, man. As a Kings fan, it's been tough to watch. We've been really spoiled as Kings fan. You know, it's been fun to watch, and I hated hearing some of the commentary on Quick and how fast people give up on him for everything that he's done for the organization and for the position itself. That guy revolutionized a lot of what, like, how goalies play now. Like, he basically introduced the, I don't know if you know the RVH and all that stuff, the reverse VH that he does. But his style of play was, his style of play was so unique that he really has changed the way a lot of the other goalies play, and I think that's helped Jack Campbell elevate his game as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, both those guys are awesome, and I would say I don't know much about goalies and how, like, form and technique, but I want to say Quickie's maybe unorthodox a little bit.
Yeah.
He's not real technical, but, like, at the end of the day, he stops the puck.
Super athletic, he does well. He's not a robot. You've got the Carey Prices of the world and the Marc-Andre Fleurys that play under that real robotic, that style of play, and it works for them to an extent till it doesn't. But then they both have their athleticism too. But then you have Quick, who's just been a phenomenal, like you say, unorthodox athlete that just throws out some amazing. He is so much fun to watch because of that. Because he's not so robotic. I mean, they're fun to watch in their own ways, right? So, and that Vasilevskiy, you know, for Tampa Bay, he's kind of the same thing where he's like, he'd be a modern hybrid where he's 50% robot and 50% just athletic craziness.
Yeah. The guy that played for Buffalo way back when.
Oh, Hasek.
Yeah, Hasek. That guy was, forget it.
Yeah, same thing. Well, I'd say he had like 20% form and then 80%. He probably made saves because the forwards just had no idea what to expect. Just throwing his pads all over the place. Hey, so as long as we got you on the phone, I want to know, you know, we interviewed your brother, and we know he's playing juniors this year. Where's he at this year?
He, for those who don't know, my brother, Sam, and he was down in Texas playing for El Paso last year.
Where they won the championship last year.
Yep, correct, which was, I believe, in Utah, right?
Yeah, in Ogden, in Ogden against Ogden.
Oh, yeah, there you go. But, yeah, he went to a new league. It's a Tier 1, Canada called it Tier 1, the CCHL, Central Canadian Hockey League, a league I used to play in.
Nice.
I play for Hawkesbury Hawks, and Sam is now playing for the Kanata Lasers. So he's been up there for, I think he had a report sometime in August, beginning of August, something like that. So he's been gone doing his thing, from what I hear, from when I talk to him. He loves it, loves the lifestyle up there. I mean, he's a little different than from Utah, being, you know, how religious it is here and, you know, drinking and all that stuff. So
yeah,
he's enjoying it.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear he's, hopefully he's found a place to, it's kind of like where you went and kind of learned your way and spread your wings a little bit, right?
Exactly. And that's where I blossomed a little bit as a player and learned to mature and to grow my game. So hopefully he can do the same.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, can you speak to, because we were kind of talking about in the beginning here, you know, like ups and downs and stuff like that of you know, getting drafted and just trying to, just the whole, your whole process of being, you know, a pro. And, you know, how does, like when you get an injury like this and you're sitting here, you're on a roll, you're battling, and then all of a sudden there's an injury. How does that play with your emotions? How do you keep your emotions in check on how you get back to where you need to be, you know?
You know, that's tough. You could say the cliche thing that, you know, mm-hmm. you're a pro, you should be able to do that, but that's pretty a vague answer. But, no, it's definitely tough because this one, I wasn't in control. And, like, last year I got injured, and it was tough. Like, like you said, you get on a roll and you start feeling good about yourself, where your game's going, where it's heading. Your team might be on a hot streak or whatever. And You know, you just got to stay positive. I think a lot of it is I had a good support system around me, and my roommates were right there with me the entire time, and I don't know, they kept me up in spirits, and it's the little things too. Every day, like if I go to the rink trying to do rehab, you know, this is just an example, like maybe I couldn't like lift a 5-pound dumbbell, you know, yesterday, but today I can. Like just those little achievements get you or keep moving you forward and keep you uplifted and you know, want to keep getting better so you can get back to your team and help the guys out. And you know, because that's at the end of the day, that's, I know it's a business, but it's also fun, and all the guys, we all love it, and you know, you make memories that way. But you know, it's no fun ever getting injured and being out and having to watch your team go through ups and downs, and you want to be there with them going through ups and downs, and hopefully more ups than downs. But,
so you saying that just made me think of something. I thought it was awesome that you came home and were able to rehab here, but would you rather be there? Like, where would you rather rehab? Does it help to have that camaraderie still, or is it better to have mom's home cooking?
You know what? I'm a little mixed emotion there because I have not been home for probably, I mean, at this time in the year,
right.
Probably, I don't know, 10 years. Yeah. I haven't been home in middle of October in probably 10 years. And so it's a little different. Like, I might be able to spend Halloween here. I don't know, my family does a big family gathering every Sunday and have a dinner, and that's always great. And I haven't had a home-cooked meal in, I don't know how long. And, you know, my cooking skills aren't the greatest.
So I can see the benefits of both. And then speaking of home-cooked meals, because it's funny we bring this up, because when I mentioned you were home, and I mentioned we were talking about, you know, when I was sick, Gary offered to cook me. So he, you know, he Traegers a lot, and then he'll Traeger some turkey, and then he'll make some soup out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a few of the guys just bought some Traegers, and we've just been abusing it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We cook all of our meals at the firehouse almost on the Traeger. In fact, we bought the little pizza rolls the other day, the Tony's pizza rolls or whatever, and we Traegered them.
Forget about it.
It was unreal. Why not?
That's awesome. So I'm just saying,
I'm just saying, while you're here, I think, Gary, it was just some
soup.
Yeah.
Turkey soup.
Traeger turkey soup.
Sounds delicious.
All right. I'll make sure you get some. We'll hold Gary to that.
I can do it.
All right.
Technology.
So, timeline again. When do you think you might be home for Halloween, and then hoping to be back in Ontario right after that?
Yeah, I'm looking to be back like the 5th, 6th of November.
Okay,
great.
So I got what is that, like 10 days?
Yeah,
9 days.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah. So it's nice. I'll have been home for a week and a half. So it's a nice little quick week and a half, maybe 2 weeks.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Like I said, there's some things to love that I'm home and some not.
No, I totally get it, man. It's a dichotomy, right? Like, you want to you want to be home and you want to be getting that, but at the same time, it is nice to be around your teammates who are going through it. You form that kind of a warrior bond as you're going through a whole season with somebody, and then it is nice to rehab that way with guys. So it is, I don't know, man, it's cool, but it's going to work, and it's a rare experience for you to get to be home during these times, so maybe that'll have some of that home cooking magic.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, because if not, I could be in California enjoying the 75-degree weather on the beach.
Yeah,
there's that.
That's definitely that, too. Well,
no, I joke about that, but I'm actually... You know, I was kind of getting sick of just one season out there.
Yeah,
I missed the seasonal change, and when I came back here, I was living in my own fantasy. Think when I was packing to come back here, I packed all like shorts and t-shirts, not thinking it was Utah weather. Thinking I'm like going to like, you know, North NorCal or something.
Yeah, well,
I'm strolling out of the airport, and I'm like, holy moly. Welcome home is right.
Yeah,
I gotta buy a new jacket.
Well, I gotta tell you, I follow you. I've got your Snapchat and Instagram still, and you post all the time around the beach or whatever, and I'm like, oh man, that does look awesome. Looks a lot nicer.
Yeah, cool. Can't complain down there.
No,
you're every day like the winter is like 60, yeah, 65, 60, the middle of winter.
There's a reason it's so expensive to live there.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Well, listen, Daniel, we're bummed that you're home, but we appreciate the fact that you took the time to check in with us.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're going to be following you weekly anyway and finding out what's going on, and hopefully I'll call you again in a few weeks, and you can tell us how awesome it's going back in the A and how well Ontario's doing and how cool it is to be playing with all those high draft picks.
Yeah,
and we're excited. We're behind you guys 100%. You and Sam. We're going to check in with Sam too, and we'll be updating everybody on his stats and everything as well. And again, I just can't thank you, Gary. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I just wanted to say thanks for joining us. Enjoy Halloween, man.
It's coming up. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy Halloween, buddy. All right, thanks for coming. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah. Bye bye.
All right, that was the Utah Puck Report. Thank you so much for listening. The Utah Puck Report is a KSLSports.com podcast. And if you haven't subscribed yet, then you can. All you got to do is text the word puck to 57500.
And you can also catch us online, too, at KSLSports.com and right there at the Arrow website, 1035thearrow.com.
That's awesome. And we want to thank Josh Tilton, our producer. He's the one that keeps us in line, keeps the things rolling. And he doesn't roll tape, as you would say.
He does not.
But he does produce the show in all the digital ways. So once again, thank you so much for listening to the Utah Puck Report.